Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, still here, but hey, everybody. Hey, everybody. Yes, the echo, I love it. Double down on it. The number one trustee sponsorship foundation in the world. I don't know. If you are a drug-free athlete that are looking for a solid foundation to stand on and a vehicle to drive your goals like what that?
Like a Mack truck through ice cream.
And Ben and Jerry's. I can't even remember the name.
Ben and Jerry's.
Check us out at feed4feedmuscle.com. And now let's talk. And this is just one of those real talk shows that everybody's had a question on, you know, why wasn't it done sooner? Why aren't you guys talking sooner? Why isn't this being talked about more? And basically it's because no one wanted to give true answers. And it's bad that, you know, we have people that are in leadership positions, but they don't want to speak out as leaders. And we thank God that we have one, that I just adore anyway, that's willing to speak up about anything because she truly has a passion and a true heart and spirit to get there. And we also have an athlete that is willing to speak out as well, but in a cordial and civil fashion. Enough times in social media coming out, we have people that basically say my way is the only way and screw anybody that differs with it, and I hate you and I'll befriend you, and sooner or later I'll speak bad about you after you're blocked on my whatever social site. It's to that state nowadays, and that's really sad when you think that the whole point of having social media is so we can interact in a social and civil fashion. But today we're going to be talking about some issues in the natural bodybuilding community, and hopefully we'll get some resolutions. And I know that we have our listeners chomping at the bit to ask questions, but we will hear the guests out, and I'll let them introduce themselves. I'll start with Vicky, and then we'll go to Mara, and then we'll get on with the show.
Hi, everyone. My name is Vicky McCann. I'm tuning in from Scotland in the UK.
Wow.
I'm 27 years, have been competing as a natural bodybuilder. I've been promoting and running the BMBF, which is the natural organization over here, for 18 years. I've been a pro bodybuilder, starting with the WMBF since 1995. So 22 of my 27 years have been competing as a pro. So as well as being involved in the organizational or heading or founding or whatever you want to call it, I've also got a huge amount of experience from the other side of the coin, where, as I say, I have been a competitor for 27 years.
Very nice. Mara?
Yep. Awesome. Hi, Vicky. I'm so excited to talk to you. I met you, I think, one or two times, as I think we met in Minnesota at the Minnesota Mayhem 2 years ago. And I have been a natural pro athlete since 2013, so not as quite as many years as you, but congratulations on that. I don't know if I can last 27 years. I'm not really sure about that, but wow, like, that is awesome. And, you know, I've competed with the WMBF, DFAC, and, you know, I've held an IPA card, so I'm kind of jumbled up in the alphabet soup right now that's going on in the natural bodybuilding world. So thank you so much for joining me on the show so that maybe we can bring some clarity to some athletes out there that are looking to compete in the future. And hopefully we all find the common ground tonight that we want is that we want respect for the natural bodybuilding world. We want the sport to grow. And us pros, I think we're ready to be respected as really real athletes to contend with the IFBB and show this natural side of us as true athletes. So that's what I'm hoping to get out of the conversation tonight, and I'm excited.
Good. I mean, I'm in the same boat as you, Mara, in that I have been a pro with the WMBF, with the IFPA, with the PMBA, also the FAC I've competed with, obviously, as well. And the problem is that there is such a mishmash and so many issues. which is part of the reason why the DFAC started in the first place. I could tell you some stories, some horror stories, but also some very positive stories about people in every organization. Every organization that you name has got good people, but it has got a lot of problems. And the problem being is that there is so much choice, there is so much issue, which in one aspect is great, but only if people use that choice to create something positive and don't just jump on stage that's nearest to them because it's a bucket list and they want to be seen on stage. If we're going to treat it as a sport, we have to work together. And the biggest influence on any sport is the athlete. Now, I know a lot of what you said was, you know, promoters need to do this, the organizations need to do that. And yes, I would totally agree with what you said, because that's why I started the DFAC. I talked years and years ago, when I was still with the WNBF, about having an athletes union, because the only people that can make a change are the athletes. And that is the biggest problem, that the athletes are not talking with their feet. They are just following the mishmash, accepting whatever is going on and not doing anything about it. And that has always been my biggest issue.
Okay. So I know Vicky advocates from like the athlete is where change needs to happen. I'm kind of on the other side of how, because in order to establish a union, you need some type of leadership to do that. And you also need to know who's going to be among this organization. How do we set up the rules, the standards? Because when you're talking about unions, that's a lot to go into working with the federations themselves as a business. That's not really going to give us a lot of leeway to work with organizational heads to really put forth change. One question I have is actually, how does a bodybuilding federation get started? On my research, that's really what I've been looking at, is that anybody can really start an organization. I'm not sure under what kind of business model it is filed under, but when you're saying create a union, that means that union's going to have to work with all of these organizations, and we're going to still end up having the same problems that we have. Also, athletes oftentimes don't really know what's right and wrong when they're going into a competition. It's barely enough to get the coaches on. Coaches have lots of different ideas, you know, and so an athlete is really by themselves alone being able to do research. Unless you really know people who know people who know people, you might be misguided very easily as an athlete. So putting that pressure on the athlete, I don't think it's fair. Like I said, I use sports analogies into other sports. We don't have the athlete running the sport. In the NFL, we have an NFL organization, you know, the National Football League that sets the standards of the sport. And then in that, we have a players union, a coaches union, and things like that, an owners union that work within those guidelines. Until we unify as one unified sport, we're really not going to see it change in the athlete. I don't think we have the tools there to come together in that way.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, and I totally get what you're saying about the NFL. But you have one NFL. In natural bodybuilding, you have, I don't know how many organizations there are in America now. It's actually becoming ridiculous. And the problem being that you'll never really ever be able to unify these organizations, because, you know, certain organizations accept certain banned substance lists. Certain organizations accept crossovers. They accept different criteria. So there's never really going to be a union. I mean, I made a suggestion several times on Facebook that, you know, the leading organizations have their own organization, but once a year they come together, and every 4 years one of the organizations takes control. And they have a yearly show that is considered the best of the best, the ultimate show of the year. So whether it's the World Championships or whether it's, you know, something like that, that each year a different organization leads it. And that way they could unify the athletes, and we accept whatever organization is running it that year. We accept their rules, their drug tests. Each of the other organizations provides two judges so that you have a cross-the-board judging panel, but we follow the criteria of whatever organization it is that year. the following year, another organization takes the reins. Now, that would be a way to integrate without actually having to break down the whole organizations that exist. Nobody is, or very few are going to be willing to let go, partly mm-hmm. because natural bodybuilding has now become more of a business than a sport. And that is one of our biggest issues. People are giving away pro cards left, right, and center, not because it's for the benefit of the sport, but because the more pros they have, the more membership money they've got coming in. If they have pro cards, they're making athletes keep these payments up yearly, regardless whether they're competing or not. So it's a financial income. It's not beneficial to the sport. People are now winning pro cards that would never have won pro cards in the past. I mean, the WNBF hand out pro cards, ridiculous amounts of pro cards. When we have athletes in the UK who cannot win at our British finals, some of them can't even qualify for our British finals, who have now got WNBF pro cards. And funnily enough, the WNBF don't accept DFAC pro cards, which is kind of ironic. But this is the issue. The whole industry isn't run as a sport anymore. And I think, Mara, what's nice about you is that you still consider your bodybuilding or your figure or whatever class you're doing, but you consider it a sport and you feel that we should be set up like a sport, which is exactly the ethos that the DFAC came from, where we wanted to recreate structure, we wanted to recreate the strive, the pushing to achieve something better, rather than it just to be getting hundreds of people on stage, getting hundreds of different classes with thousands of people competing. We want to keep that sport element where people are striving to be better, where it's difficult to get to the top, where people want to come and watch because it's a spectacle. But we are fighting against all these other organizations who are more about quantity than quality. And that's my feeling. And as I say, that's one of the reasons. And I mean, I can tell you a lot of horror stories about why I decided to leave virtually every organization and set up the DFAC. I'm not going to do it on this show because I wouldn't do that to Kaylin, but I'm more than happy to share any of these conversations privately with anyone.
Well, that's great, because if we started to do that, we would not have enough time to get through anything. We would have you guys booked for a month straight, maybe two. But I'm glad you put that out there, because transparency is what's very important in a lot of these matters. And I agree with both sides of the fence on what you guys are saying. I've never been a promoter, but as an athlete, I see all of the points that Mara is making. And then from the standpoint of a media person, if you will, as Kaylin and I represent P4P Real Talk and Midwest Muscle, we also see the other side of the coin, a lot of the behind the scenes things that maybe not everyone else might see. So even though I'm not a promoter, I definitely see the different struggles that go on in that area. And I do want to get to some listener questions here. Not all of them may be 100% related to the conversation that we've had thus far, but I think that they will tie into the overall theme that we have going here. And I'm actually going to start off this one by directing it to Kaylin, but Vicky and Mara, definitely feel free to chime in. Kaylin, a question we have from Linda, and I'm not sure how much our listeners do or don't know about the environment that is surrounding the Minnesota Mayhem right now. It's a show that's promoted by Leif and Stephanie Anderson. But she is wondering, why is the NANBF so unwilling to give a definite answer on what is going on with the Mayhem? I don't know how much light you can shed in that area, but can you help provide whatever clarity you can?
Oh, I can definitely answer it. One of the biggest things is I think they were trying to do some kind of protection of themselves, you know, as far as keeping competitors going to the other shows. Like Vicky had mentioned, it's more like a business. And so to protect the industry that the NANBF, they basically didn't give a definite answer to keep, I guess, doubt going around and a lot of questions, but people would still show up and basically, I guess, do an in-house answer of the questions, hopefully to get it face-to-face. And it kind of fell apart on them because many people were asking too many questions and the responses weren't matching with anyone because I guess they really didn't think that competitors would talk to each other. I mean, it just seems like there's so much open-ended answering that had no definite answer that it was just falling apart, and that is where it was going from there. So, you know, they did more like an industry than anything.
And before we have the ladies jump in, if you couldn't just take a step back and give a little bit of an explanation of what you're referring to in case some of our listeners might not be familiar with what we're talking about here.
Okay. Well, the organization decided to drop the show, the Mayhem. It was a lot of behind-the-scenes dealing with no really response open about how they were going to go about setting that up for whatever reason. They just left the show. And that happened. It basically just had a lot of competitors asking, you know, well, what's going on? And when they were asking that, they weren't getting a definite answer. They were getting basically responses, but not truth. And because it wasn't true, there was a lot of anger and frustration and a lot of people basically having angst against the organization itself and not against the promoter that they were trying to punish. And because of that, it seemed more like a punishment towards an individual than an actual business decision. And because of that, you know, it kind of really went south real quick on, you know, what's being.
I'm going to hop in here. This is Mara, because
sure.
I got
sure.
the truth, and I'm not afraid to say the truth of what it is. So I'm speaking from the athlete. So if you're an athlete and you want to know what happens, again, with Vicky, first of all, Vicky, you're supposed to be against me. We're kind of on the same side because a lot of the things that you said in your previous statement is exactly what I want too. So it's nice to be on here knowing that we're not going to be total adversaries, but I like your ideas. And we always talk on Facebook. We do have similar ideas here. But as an athlete, so what do? Okay, so Vicky was saying it's on the athlete's part, right, to step up and compete and, you know, make sure that the show is going. I'm one of those athletes. So I pick a show. You know, it's really on you as an athlete to figure out your timeline of how you're going to compete, what shows you're going to compete in. I pick shows that are for the money. Okay, Leif Anderson is an awesome promoter because he puts up that money out of his pocket for you to win. That's something that I didn't know because I asked him once my show got dropped, all right, I get to ask some questions. And I think the reason why people don't get the right answers is because you don't know how to ask the right questions. And that's just something that I've been able to develop by just talking to promoters and owners and people like you. So the question I had to ask was, where did that money come from to see what, you know, what was nefarious going on? Was it the money? Was it, you know, what is going on with this show? And it came down to a disagreement between the promoter, how he wanted to run his show and make sure that award money was handed out fairly with proper drug testing, and the organization that the show was sanctioned by, which was the new one, whatever the new one was, the IPE, I think that's the alphabet soup there,
yep.
Which is where we know you have to do your research on your own to figure out how the IPE came into existence. We're not going to get into that, okay? So, again, here we go with improper standards here of if we had a blanketed organizational rule, even if those organizations were under some type of umbrella, we would have standards set that we would not have conflicts of interest even arise, that a show would get canceled for a pro competition because of disagreements between how drug testing is going to be handled. But when I got the email, when I asked Leif why my show got dropped, I was pissed. So pissed that I had to really think about if I wanted to stay in this sport. I do not want any athlete to ever feel like that ever again. Plus, I'm really mad that I cannot go back to Minnesota right now because I was really looking forward to it because Duluth is a very nice place and I wanted to see it again. So, you know, you have this happen, and again, how long is this going to go on? We can't even, we're probably not even get into how is prize money, you know, and how are the pros paid and things like that, because we got to deal with the basic the lack of leadership, lack of organization, and this is a sport. To me, this is a sport. And so, like Vicky said, yes, it is a business, and I'm going to throw this out here. This is going to be a little bit later in the show, but I don't want to speak negativity on my sport. First of all, before I say this, I'm going to say the positive things. I love this sport. This sport is needed. Natural bodybuilding will help guide the rest of public health, especially here in America. Some of the issues that we have with Americans in exercise and diet, our natural bodybuilders are the personal trainers who are in the gym, who are the leaders in the community to help them to help the community get healthier. And we use bodybuilding to bolster our careers, and that's what I did. I don't want to see it go away. But bodybuilding is becoming a scam. I'm going to tell you that right up. If you're saying this to athletes, I'm looking at a scam if I'm a person that's going to be contributing to this type of sport. I'm looking, like Vicky said, anybody can start an organization now. Anybody can get membership fees, and you're telling me the money's not there. You're telling me the money's not there. But when I look at a show and I see amateur athletes competing for pro cards that are just given out, and you're telling me you don't have money to pay the pros, what are we really doing? We need to stop this because, as you've seen with Ja Rule's music festival, I don't know if you heard that, if it gets too big, things that get too big are going to fail when other people start taking them on. We want to get the bad apples out of here, and the only way that you get bad apples out of anything is to set up some standards, and we got to do that because whether you're the WNBF or DFAC, if you have those bad apples, your organizations are not going to thrive. That's it.
All right. Well, God, I was given a chance there. I wasn't sure, but that, I mean, and I just have to say amen to that. And I'm not going to speak a ton because we have more questions to get to, but I share your angst when I learned that that show was no longer a pro show. Was looking forward to it. And now that's off of my calendar as well. So, you know, stuff like that happens, but then yet the show must go on. And so Leaf is doing what he needs to do to continue to provide a quality event for the athletes that are interested. So Bill's question is, and I think this ties in, it doesn't really say what question he's referring to, but how is it that so many, quote, leaders, unquote, will not give a response to a simple question that seems very simple? So I think we're still talking about the NANBF Minnesota Mayhem arena here. And I think we touched on that, but if anybody wants to jump back in with their opinion, me personally, you know, I think it has a lot to do with a lot of chest thumping. Some of it, they may feel that it is, you know, being cautious, if you will, or protecting themselves in some way, shape, or form, but you know, it just comes down to it. If you're going to make a decision, you should be able to give a clear answer as to why you did what you did. I mean, I don't know. Agree or disagree, folks?
Yes, I agree.
I will be 100% honest in any question I'm asked. Sometimes I will not go public with it purely because it causes too much trouble. And because originally I went public with a lot of the things and people turned around and told me, they didn't want to know that I was causing trouble by being honest. So I will say now, here and now, I will be 100% honest if someone asks me a question. I don't know what happened in Minnesota. I know that the DFAC used to have that show. We're happy we don't have it anymore, and that's all I'm going to say on that one publicly.
I just think as an athlete... Right now, the hardest thing, Vicky was saying, is how do you get an athlete union that we know information? We got to clear that up so that information comes through. If you don't want to go public as an owner, as a promoter, as a coach, things like that, we do have to have a centralized source of information. That's why it's really important to be a smart athlete. You know, find good people. Vicky is one of those people who are very honest. And when I look for information, I'll hit her up. She, you know, sorry, it's 1 a.m. right now, Vicky, hitting you up right now for some information where you are in Scotland. But I will hit her up for information, and she's very good about doing that. We need more people like that at the head of organizations. If they're not answering your simple questions, it means they don't want to answer you. That's it. That's it.
Yeah.
Either any answer that's a non-answer should either be I'll get back to you on that information, or they're just not, they don't want to answer you. And that's just the plain talk about it all. They don't want to do it. And I get it. When you have a business, because I work in a business, you do have some private things that you don't go public with because they don't have all the information you know. But if it's a simple night and day question and they're not answering, it's because they don't want to answer you. And that's just where we are.
Yeah. Yes, and that's that in itself. And I'm very disappointed because, like as I was saying, there's a lot of chest thumping going on, and there's a lot of just it seems foolish that if we're gonna take the stand of being such big individuals and have something so small and frail, something so simple, it just seems like it's a waste of time and energy. And Vicky, thanks so much for being, you know, honest about what you said and basically not trashing anything. Because like you said, you don't want to get so negative that we turn off people. And that's a big thing. You know, if, as long as we speak respectfully and with civil-minded answers, you can make progress. But if we basically just get on here to run people in the ground, then we're not helping either. So it's a fine line, and I really respect and appreciate how you guys are going about your answers, and thank you for that.
I think, Keelan, I think, Mara, one thing you should know about the DFEC is that when we set up the DFEC, there are three founders of the DFEC, myself, Rich Fitter, and Mike Lepowski. When we set it up, the one statement that we made at the very beginning was that it was going to be non-for-profit. Now, none of us take a single penny from the DFEC. I have run the BMBF since 2000, and I have never taken a single penny out of that. Now, one of the reasons that we stated that was because we wanted it to be a sport. We didn't want to be influenced by financial gain. We wanted everything that we do to be about the athlete and about the progression and development of the sport. Now, that's great in principle, and this is where I say it's important that the athletes understand this, because without them getting the athletes' backing, we're not in a position to hand out as much money. We don't charge huge pro card expenses. We don't charge huge entry fees. We don't ask the pros to maintain their membership year after year. You pay for your membership the year you compete. That is it. But that way we're not as financially strong as a lot of these people that are running it more as a business, where they will have hundreds and hundreds of competitors and hundreds of classes. We haven't let it get that way. But if athletes don't want that and that's not what they're looking for, then there kind of isn't any point of us existing, which is where I'm saying that the athlete is the strongest person, because if they support what we're trying to do, or whatever organization they feel is doing things right and is loyal and sticks by them, it makes them in a stronger position as regards getting sponsorship deals, getting help that way, you know, everything. And if everything's been channeled back into the sport, then the athlete is still that main contributor to what makes an organization a success.
I think my response to that, as an athlete, is you kind of have the, and first of all, let me say this, I always like to say things positive. I love the DFAC. I thought competing in that Minnesota Mayhem when y'all had it, it was one of the best Royal shows. Of course, I don't know that behind the scenes of how that works between promoter and organization. Again, a problem as to why I see two excellent organizations not working, or excellent entities not working together. That is a very good organization in DFAC who's trying to treat their athletes very well, versus a promoter like Leaf, who I also think is a very positive person who has the money to pay well for pro athletes, and they cannot work together for whatever reason. So you have that big thing. There's nowhere I can go as an athlete. I'm there. You know, I'm an athlete that shows up to the shows. Like I said last week, I competed in DFAC Worlds the week after my father died. I did terrible. I did not care because the main thing I wanted to do was get on that stage. If I'm taking that upon myself and my shows are getting canceled or I'm competing for only $600 where I'm putting the time in the gym, I'm working my work schedule to fit in the time in the gym, to show up, to look good on stage, spending the money on the supplements, the travel and things like that, I think it's time for us to say the athletes are definitely doing their part in paying their fees to the show and their membership fees. And like I said, I love DFAC. I will get my pro card back to them soon. And then I got to worry about, okay, well, if I can't get into a DFAC show, what show am I going to do? And if they're going to set my pro card. The athlete here is stuck. And what's going to happen is, when we already see it, my bodybuilding partner is leaving for MPC. A lot of our natural athletes are going to leave because at least we know that MPC has some sort of organization and they have a path to success. Right now there is no real pathway when we have the contradiction of, okay, if the money's not there, then it doesn't come from the promoter. You know, there are no standards so that we can help the organizations and the promoters put on good shows in a very workable environment.
I kind of get
what
you're saying.
All right, so I'm going to go ahead and jump. Oh, go ahead, Vicky.
Go ahead. No, you go
and then
ahead.
I'm going to jump in.
I totally get your point. Yep, sorry. Go ahead, Desiree.
No, I'm out. You go.
Mara, I totally understand your point of view. But, however, there are things go on, and as I say, I'm not going to get onto any negativity because the DFAC is really positive. At the moment, we're not a well-off organization. If we get the support from the athletes, we can then give out more prize money. It's simple as that, because none of it goes to any of the organizations. You know, our shows generally run. Regardless of what happens, we generally run our shows. I haven't seen us cancel, you know, very many shows. The world will run, without a shadow of a doubt. I already know we have teams coming in from lots of different areas in different countries. We'll have a huge British team coming in. So regardless of anything else, the DFAC World in Miami will be a fantastic show. So if you need something to channel into, then that's it. I can't promise we're going to have the best prize money in the world because, as I said to you, until the athletes get behind us and understand that we aren't charging you great fees and we aren't charging you when you're not competing like other organizations are, and we don't have the sponsors yet because so many competitors are still, you know, go back and forth to and complaining to me all the time but still going back, and they won't complain openly because they're afraid it'll affect their place when they do go back. That it does make it a mishmash and it does make it difficult for us to make the DFAC stronger.
Well, you know, my response to that would be, again, that doesn't answer the question that I have, because at this point, I don't even want to get into how show money, because, again, we don't have the standards set, because I think there should be standards set for pro shows to, A, get us excited about what we're about to do. I understand the DFAC, and like I said, I love the DFAC. I think it's a great organization, and I understand you're saying the membership fees, you know, drive the prize money, but does it have to be that way? That's the question.
One of the main
ladies, actually, Vicky, I'm going to jump in here and we can circle back around to this, but, you know, good conversation and good thoughts. I don't know that we're going to get closure to that one tonight, but definitely keep it in mind and keep it going. I do want to get to a few things here from our listeners, and I think as we listen to and talk through these things, we're going to get to some of the points that you're making or are trying to make before I jumped back in here. But one quick thing, you know, talking about the athletes speaking out, and it's a question of whose responsibility is it really? And I'm not going to try and answer that, but I will say this, and we'll put in a plug for the IM organization that Melissa Johnson has started to form. And if athletes are afraid of speaking out because of backlash, which in and of itself is kind of mind-blowing to me. But anyway, there are advocates out there. And so I'm always up for positive feedback on how to make organizations like that more prevalent and more known to athletes who aren't as maybe brave as what Mara is, and willing to put it out there from her perspective to be, you know, it is what it is, and that's what it is, because that's the only way that change happens. And so if you have thoughts out there, athletes, you got to step up to the plate. I will put that part of the responsibility on you guys and on myself as well. And maybe you don't have to be the face that goes with the voice, but there are options out there. So I'm just gonna put that thought out there, because only you know what's on your mind. So if you don't share it, no one else is going to know.
But
Go ahead.
There's so many athletes in too many organizations. We're still going to, I mean, there's so many athletes in too many organizations and so many promoters that if we continue down this path of, you know, one organization, one advocate speaks out this way, this way, and this way, we're still going to end up in a bit of chaos that we're in now.
Well, and, you know, and I'm not going to get stuck here tonight because that's not really my focus. I will make sure you and Vicky and the listeners have their chance, but at least with the IM organization, I know that there was an effort to work with all of the organization heads. So regardless of where the question was or the angst was, that there was an advocate that was going to work with that group and then communicate across all the groups. So, I mean, I think that's a workable model. But, again, I think that's a conversation, a bigger conversation for another time. Real quick comment we got from Sam. It's not a question. I'm going to go ahead and share it, though, and then I'm going to move on. When do the competitors really matter if the organizational leaders are not listening to the athletes like it appears Vicky is? I guess that is a question. You know, I guess I am going to go ahead and stop there. Mara and Vicky, so we'll go ahead and address this, but let's try to kind of keep it a little bit brief because we really only have 20 minutes left and a long way to go. So
okay,
when do the competitors really matter if organizational leaders are not going to listen to the athletes? When does that happen? Mara, you
first. I think in my defense. Sorry,
and Vicky first.
I can't answer that
In my
question.
Defense,
That's
I do listen.
Vicky. Oh, sorry.
Yep, go ahead, Mara.
No,
or
no,
Vicky.
Okay. One thing, in my defense, I listen to all the competitors. I sit with a computer on my knee answering emails constantly as much as I possibly can, especially leading up to Worlds, and I will listen, I will answer. One of the reasons is that, as I said at the start, I have competed for 27 years. I've been a pro for 22 years. I have spoken out. I have been criticized. I mean, one of the standing jokes when the BMBF used to be part of the WMBF, one of the standing jokes from my team was, Vicky, please just don't say anything, because every time you say something, you lose a place on stage. It was a standing joke. I still stood up and said it until it got to the stage. I thought, this is enough. So from my point of view and in my defense, I am a competitor. I will listen to your point of view. The problem I have is that often the point of view that I get, you know, I listen to positive, constructive opinions, but very often what you get a lot of from competitors is confliction on where they placed and how they did because the coach said they should have done better. And I'll deal with that as best I can, and I still will even give that my point of view, my honest opinions. But that's the hardest part to deal with. But I do genuinely answer everyone who writes to me.
And I will back that up for Vicky. She's an awesome person. She will answer your questions. So I can say, I mean, it's sad, Vicky, that you're one of few. And I'm listening to your history here. And I'm here now as a newer person than you. I don't have quite a deep-rooted history. Well, actually, I do have a rooted history. But I'm new to this, you know. And I'm here now past 2013, where we advocated for some change, and we're still having the same problems because we advocated for those changes, and then the organizational heads changed the rules on us, you know, and started doing things that clearly we have a funneling going on between the organizations trying to funnel athletes only into their organization, which is why you get drug changes or why the WNBF won't accept DFAC cards and things like that. They're competing against each other. And this has got to stop because it does not help the sport. So, like I said, I will back Vicky up. She does do her do the grit part of responding to the athletes, but you're only one, and that's not helping us right now.
Well, that's good, because if I'm the only one, then everyone should come into DFAC and support us, and then we can make a lot of money. Easy.
And I saw the only thing is, too, when you get that, when you only get one organization, you don't have as many shows to pick from. And it's great to say, hey, the Worlds are going to be in Miami, but I've already set up my competition cycle and things like that, hoping to compete in Minnesota. And that competition that you're speaking of, now I have to really wrangle myself and see if I can even compete in that show. It's not just being able to compete. It's about travel. I run a business. I have responsibilities to take care of. You're right. I'm not a pro athlete earning money to just be able to up and go do a show right now. And as a pro athlete, you have to travel. You have to travel. So I do hope to compete in DFC Worlds again, because it was a really fun time and they treat their athletes well. But again, being respectful to a pro is not just with being very good on membership like DFAC. It also has to take in the total picture of what a pro goes through in their life.
Oh, absolutely. I understand that, because I do the exact same. But one of the issues you have as a promoter is that when our promoters start up, when we get a new promoter come in, now you're talking about standards. We have standards with lighting. We have standards with how the show is going to be run. We have lots of standards. But for me to ask a promoter to take on a pro lineup and pay pro money, for a lot of them it's not possible. It's very, very difficult. And the biggest thing with pros is with your juniors, with your novices, with a lot of your classes, they bring family and friends to support. With the pros, more often than not, they turn up, they do the show, they want to get finished as quickly as possible so they can get home, and they don't still have that excitement of being part of a show. So they actually can be, instead of being a positive thing for a promoter or a new promoter to work with, it becomes a bit of a drain and a bit of a stress and a worry to be putting something like that on. So that makes it hard. We're kind of lucky over in the UK, because our pros are very much, and I've discussed this with Kaylin 101 times, we have, a much tighter knit organisation. Our pros come and help out with all the shows. We run clubs so that people come and get to know them. So at the end of the year, if the BMBF makes money, I try and support the pros and help them if I can to get out to Miami. But they help me all year to do things like they do free guest posing, they judge for me, they run clubs, they help new people get into the sport. So it's a very, very different way of running things over there. In America, the pros are very much insular. They don't really, get involved in any way other than just to turn up and compete and to take the money, which might sound really negative, and I don't mean it to sound that way, but it does make it hard for a new promoter.
Well,
I'm never against taking money. I'll say that as an athlete. When I heard the show was canceled and the way they pulled the show, when I asked the questions, I was like, okay, well, if you decide to pull the sanction, well, why didn't the pros still compete for this $3,000 and just let the promoter handle the drug testing? He had told those athletes, again, wrong information. It doesn't matter if you're competing in a world championship for an organization that just got started. Where is the and I'm not being disrespectful to any organizational world championships, but, however, what is the attractiveness of competing in a world championship of an organization that got just started? You can't even really say, oh, I won the world championships of bodybuilding natural, because if you say I won WNBF Worlds, no one can recognize that. There's no recognition among that. So why not just compete for a chance to win a good amount of prize money? I was sitting there, I was like, I didn't want to drop the show. I'm still competing. I don't care who the show is sanctioned by, because apparently as pro athletes, we should be able to cross-sanction, which is not apparently what is going to happen anymore since the rules keep getting changed on us. And so we have that problem. It's not that we want to leave any one organization, but we're going to go when we see shows that are going to be, enticing for a pro to compete in. And until we get some type of unity around the sport, but like you said, Vicky, the main problem is not run as a sport, it's run as a business, and it's a scam now. I hate to say it. I don't want to say that with negativity because I love this sport. And like I said, I'm here to see this support, to support this sport and see it thrive through. So by me saying this, don't think that I'm telling anybody not to compete. You should still compete. No matter who you are, where you are right now, listening to this podcast, a promoter, you should still want to get into this this sport, this industry, things like that. But we're going to still have the same problems if we don't get into Unity. And there are promoters that are scamming people. They are.
All right. So real quick here, I got to take us back 1 second. I know I confused some of our listeners when I was referring to Melissa Johnson and the I Am movement. Melissa Johnson is not a promoter. She is a pro athlete. The I Am movement that she began is an athlete advocacy movement, I guess. I'm using that word a lot, but that's what it is. So it was an opportunity for athletes to share their concerns with someone who will be the voice for their concerns and who was willing to network across all of the different organizations throughout the natural community, as long as those organizations were willing to cooperate with her. So hopefully that clears that up. And she's still looking for help. She's still looking for support. So, you know, you don't have to be just one voice out there in the sea of the natural world, alphabet soup, as Mara calls it. You can have support, and you can have someone who's willing to take all of the concerns collectively and put a more powerful voice behind them if you're not comfortable with enough in knowing who you should talk to or you know, sharing your voice as an individual. So that's what the I Am movement is. Melissa Johnson is the organizer of that. We're happy to share how to get in touch with her. And she is looking for more help to support giving the athletes a stronger voice, just as Mara has been talking about this evening. Real quick, I got to get to some more listener questions here or a comment. Dale is saying, if we are going to punish the promoters for doing their own show, how can the athletes want to get better and improve? You know, fair question. You know, something to think about there. Real quick. Sorry. Just trying to make sure that I've gotten through all of the questions that we have here. Kaylin, if we have any more, let me know. But I think Dale's is the latest there. And I believe he's probably referring back to what we've been sharing about the Minnesota Mayhem and, you know, just the stance that's been taking if a promoter wants to have more control of their show, but the organization is not allowing it, you know, what kind of position does that put the athlete in? And as I think you guys have been hearing, you know, especially from the pro perspective that Mara is bringing to the conversation, it puts them in a position of uncertainty, at least in the short term, but it does, or it should open eyes to, you know, how a show should be, could be run in cooperation with an organization that definitely is in the best interest of the athletes at all times. So, I don't know, that's my thoughts there on that. Dale, Kaylin, do you have anything to add to that?
It's very hard to really get into a situation if the rug is always being pulled out. And a lot of the athletes and a lot of the people that are going to the respective shows are feeling that way if there's so much in-house bickering. And you know, I think it's so funny because we talk about organizations, and there's different organizations, but we're all in that body building. So we're seen as one unit, and that's comical to me because you're not understanding what's really going on. But I think in a way they just want it simpler, and they want it to make sense. They want it all to make sense so they can get behind it fully. And you know, with the negativity that's been flying around, it's hard to really get behind and support that in a way I think that would be sustainable for growth. And when we are constantly going at each other's throats, you'd almost swear this was a very dysfunctional family when we always talk about how we love the fitness industry, and we all do, which is ironic in itself. But if we're going to grow, the chest thumping needs to go. It has to. The attitude needs to go. They have to. And the competitor truly has to have value other than a talking point statement. And I think that's where a lot of what the question was referring is going to. It's like it's more of a question dealing with us as individuals and people than shows and venues. Because if we don't step up and get better, then nothing steps up and gets better because we're the driving force behind it. And I say we because that's everybody.
I think one of the points, you know, that Dale was questioning is, you know, when a promoter wants to have more influence over his own show, in some aspects you can allow certain things as an organization as long as they don't break the rules. And one of the major issues that you cannot have a breakdown on is the drug testing. So if the discussion and the disagreement is on a drug testing issue, I think the organization is right not to work with the promoter. So from that point of view, and that's something that we'll be very strong on, and it's something I think too many athletes don't look into, is the DFAC use WADA. We use a WADA accredited lab, which is a research sports research lab, to make sure that our testing is the best it can possibly be. We can test for SARMs. We can test for SERMs. We can do IRMS testing to make sure that if there is a high testosterone level, that we can tell whether it's exogenous or non-exogenous. 90% of the other organizations out there are not doing this. So for athletes who really genuinely want to be natural athletes and compete in natural shows, I think that saying that a promoter is wanting to work differently from the organization is fine. If they're looking to bend drug testing rules, in my opinion, that's not fine.
Well, I think my response to everything is first vice versa. If a promoter thinks an organization is not being is not doing well with drug testing protocol, that promoter should not want to work with an organization either. And this is just one instance of problems that we're having. Drug testing, money, athlete respect, all this. These are all different problems that we have, but it comes back to this central question of why do we do it like this? I'm listening to Vinci's history, and I think she's a person that got shut down. She's a person that got shut down. She tried to affect some change, and she was shut down. If you want the athletes to start something new, then I'm one of those athletes to say, why are we doing it like this? Why do we have to continue in this way? We try to give organizations the lead to say, okay, do something different. Open up the sanctions for pro athletes. That is not working because DFAC, we just heard Vicky talked about the way they drug test is different from the other organizations. So that's going to steer you in one way where you want to go. If you want to use SARMs, you're going to go over here because they're saying, no, that's okay over here. And then they're saying, no, we don't agree with that. Again, the athlete now is stuck. Okay, what is the real reason? Until we have some type of unity, I like the rotating leadership idea that that Vicky had. But, again, because this is not run as a sport, we're going to continue having all these instances. And first of all, everybody needs to stop saying this is a negative thing. I don't think this is a negative thing at all. I like the differences in the different organizations, the OCB, the DFAC, the WNBF. I think that's going to be useful in another way. But, you know, unless you're being straight all out disrespectful, you know, I think that competitiveness amongst different athletes and amongst promoters, chest bumping, that's going to be useful. You know, you can use that to help bolster the sport. However, again, these problems that we are having are not going to go away until we start running things different.
Salem, thoughts?
Well, I would definitely have to say that it has to improve. It simply has to. And, you know, if just something is done with the ego, then it doesn't support the industry. And I can never agree with that. I mean, I will be 100% against that if it's only done to down or dismiss others. If we're not saying things that could be promotional for everyone, then the whole industry suffers, because we're all one unit, and I think that's what everything's being missed in the understanding that for some reason someone has to be less promoted. That's not competition. Competition is everybody stepping up and seeing who's the best. And if you're basically demeaning anyone in any fashion, then it can't be support. There's no way I can have support that, because honestly, it goes against everything I've been raised up to understand about competing. We are all on a level playing field, and everybody has a shot. That's what I know. And if somebody basically does things to undermine what someone else is doing, then there's no value in the win. It simply cannot be. And then I'll just pass it to Dan.
I think, Kaylin, the one thing we all need to be... Sorry, can I just say, the one thing we need to do, and I've said it from day one, is that we have to not be selfish. We have to be looking out for the sport. If we want this to progress and be a sport, then people have to stop looking out for their own ends and think about how they can make it better. As I said 100 times, I am the luckiest person around because I have an amazing team of pros in the UK that are so unselfish that you would not believe.
Yeah, and I'm one of those pros that aren't selfish either. I don't belong to, you know, any one organization. I've competed in most of them. I've tried to do that to show that selflessness, is that I don't really want to be held to one organization, but where I see that it could work would be something like rotating leadership, where the organizations come just like I say, you know, I like a little friendly competition. Everybody knows me. I'm a Dallas fan. I don't care if we are at 0-10 in the season. I'm going to say Dallas Cowboys are the best damn football team everywhere. You know, anytime, any place, I'm going to say that. You know, so, but what I'm saying is we can use that type of atmosphere to help bolster the sport. So where I see competition being useful and, you know, kind of chest thumping, that, excuse me, I'm so sorry. I'm choking on my quinoa. Sorry, y'all. I got hungry in the middle of the show. So where I see that competition is going to be useful to us later, we can't even get to that excitement and that fun that we could have as a bodybuilding community until we fix the problems that we have. And everybody knows what I'm saying. I'm advocating for unity to come together. And like Vicky said, once people stop being looking out for their own self-interest, we'll have a better, better, better atmosphere in this sport.
All right, so Bill, hopefully that answers your question. And go Cowboys. Even though I didn't have a chance to directly ask it, which Bill's question was, he wanted to know how this can really improve and not just good words or talking points. What is the first step necessary? Vicky and Mara both shared some thoughts there. I would say the Cliff Notes version of what they just said is, first of all, to become selfless and look at the bigger picture and not just your individual interests. One last question, guys, and this is it. This is what we're going to end with. Jenny wants to know if there will ever be a show that all the organizations will back and follow that as a grand stage for all the athletes to come together, kind of like the Super Bowl. We need your quick 30-second thoughts on that.
I think, Desi, it's pretty much what I said at the beginning, that we'd have to take year in, year out, and each organization would have to work together for one show a year. I suggested it, I think, about 3 years ago. Not a single one of the other organizational heads have taken it on board. I'd be willing to do it, but I don't think anybody else would.
And I will kind of slightly second Vicky on that. I think that's a great idea for a start, but I don't think it's going to be the best fix. But I would like to see that. That would be a show that I would definitely compete in as an athlete.
All right, Kaylin, you've got the final word.
The first step has to be the first step, and as long as we're doing it in a positive direction, I'll be happy with it. As long as, you know, we're moving forward, I'm a happy person, because sustainability happens on progressive forward movement, not in negative fashion. And I know this to be true because it's basically everything that's what it is.
All right, and there you have it. And Jenny, I would love to see a one show that every organization supported. I know that's been a goal tossed around by many, and as with most things, something gets talked about long enough, it's eventually going to happen. So with that, I want to thank Vicki and Mara for your very robust conversation tonight. It's been awesome. A lot of perspectives. Perspectives shared. And Vicki, I know we're coming up on 2 a.m., so thank you very much for staying up and burning the midnight oil, I guess, and, you know, just sharing your views with us. And Mara, I know it's not quite as late, but I thank you as well and appreciate your candidness that you have shared with us tonight.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Vicki. You are the best. I really appreciate you.
Not at all.
Mm-hmm.
Nice to chat to you guys.
All right, Kaylin, quick snickerdoodle shout out.
Snickerdoodle, snicker photo.
All right, folks, you've had a lot to ponder. So on behalf of myself, Vicki, Mara, Kaylin, and the boys from P4P Muscle, your body is a temple, so let's build it.